theater lovers and theater patrons. This is Jay Michaels. I'm here with Mary Elizabeth McCarry.
Hello.
And we're here at the Passion Pit. Passion Pit, that's interesting. Why is a theater site called a Passion Pit? Because that's what people call it when they do independent theater. It is their passion. Passion comes from the word apathy, which means something they would suffer for. And we're going to talk about the artists that suffer for and continue suffering for their arts by doing it themselves. Self-producing artists, both on stage and in film, with a particular slant to the independent artists of off-off-Broadway.
Well, film is fine, but I really think we really are going to hit more of the live theater scene, which is really kind of what we're going to talk about today, a whole bunch of stuff. What we're going to do every week is we're going to just introduce what's going on as far as what's going on with Jay's clientele and as well as other people that we know in the theater scene. And by the way, if you're in the theater and you want us to mention your piece, your dance piece, your theater piece, your cabaret piece, please get in touch with us. And all that information will be found here on the blog page. And you can just write us a note and we can try to get it up for you as well. So we're going to be talking about running shows of all different varieties, film, if that comes up, as well as all sorts of interviews and op-ed pieces. We're going to have some of the most, the influencers of the Off-Off-Broadway movement come in and talk to us about what they're experiencing out there in the New York theater, and as actors, as producers, as directors, as playwrights and composers, as dancers, as singers, musicians, whatever. And what that is from the other side of the footlights and backstage as well. And then we can discuss it with our audience members and see what they want to talk about. And we'll also interview always somebody who's very important to the world of Off-Off-Broadway.
The concept of independent theater is dealing with artists who, instead of waiting for someone to write them the check, will do whatever it takes to get their work done. And I think it's time that they are given the spotlight that they deserve. And this program's going to highlight that. They're going to give you suggestions on how they got their work up and how you can do the same. And we're going to hear theater stories, and we're going to hear what it takes to make their work a success. A lot of people just think when they say theater, they think Broadway. Beyond the glitz and glamour of Broadway and even off-Broadway these days, there is off-off-Broadway. And that is 99-seat theaters somewhere within that area, and they're usually downtown or beyond the Broadway Theater District. And basically, these plays exemplify ideas and concepts and things that we see in the papers every day, that we see in our souls every day. These are artistic parables about great works and great thoughts. We're going to talk about dance pieces. We're going to talk about musical pieces. We're going to talk about theater pieces. And we're going to bring to your attention the great authors and artists that make them a reality.
Yes, we are. And we're going to talk about new ideas as well as old. And also, let's just briefly introduce ourselves. Jay Michaels is here, and he has done what in the theater?
Okay, I'm a 40-year veteran of the theater. I began as an actor, a director, a writer, a producer, a playwright. I was a really bad choreographer for a really short while and a terrible set designer. And at one point in the third act of my career, I looked over my shoulder and realized I have 30 years of day job in marketing and performing arts. So now at this point in my life, I want to help my friends, and I want to be there to shine the light on them through Jay Michaels Arts and Entertainment, a PR and marketing firm that specializes in independent theater.
And I am just a singer.
Mary Elizabeth McCarry has been a singer, an actress, a producer, a writer for more years.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of that later. We have lots of that information coming up about me and my past as a producer since I was a little kid, somewhere in the off-off-Broadway music darkness of the 1980s. So here we go. Here's a theater scene for the week. Okay, so let's talk about what's coming up.
Okay, in the indie theater scene, starting as recently as yesterday, we have Common Ground. This is a new musical by Granville Burgess and Stan Wyketsowski.
I'm sorry, yeah.
We're sorry, Stan. This is Granville Burgess's musical that he directed, wrote the book and lyrics to. It is about a meeting between Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. The second is Jilted.
Wait, before you go on, I'm curious. If I was going to go, where am I going?
Oh, I was going to mention both of these because they're both part of the same festival.
Are they both on the same day?
One's one day after the other.
All right, so tell me about the days.
All right, well then. Granville's musical is September 6th and the 13th at 7 p.m.
And where is it?
It is at the Acorn Theater on Theater Row, 410 West 42nd Street.
What do you mean by Theater Row? Where's Theater Row?
Theater Row is 42nd Street and 9th Avenue. If you go down 42nd Street past all the Disney-esque lands and all the huge restaurants, you're going to see a row of wonderful theaters framed by Playwrights Horizons.
Oh, okay. And how much are tickets?
Tickets are $27. They go up to $40 if you want premium seats. There are discounts as well. You can go online to www.nynwtheaterfestival.com.
That's a New York New Works Theater Festival?
New York New Works Theater Festival.
Okay, so that's great. So there's more than a couple of things going on there, but we're highlighting these two to this week, yes?
Right.
Okay, so
right.
What's the other one?
Each night, what they do, they give you an amuse-bouche, and for those of you who don't watch cooking shows, that means a small sample of a group of new works. Every night you can see about a half hour's worth of six new plays and musicals. We mentioned Common Ground, and now we mention Jilted to Perfection, A More Mom's Love. This is a short musical romance written by and featuring Deborah Cook.
Wait, a more mom or a more mun?
More mom, because she is a Mormon mother.
I see.
It's a clever play on words, and it's the story of a young and divorced Mormon mom fighting against culture and security when she meets a destitute Scientologist who joyfully takes risks to live his dreams with the woman he knows is his soulmate. Psst, don't tell anyone. This is semi-autobiographical, and Deborah Cook is basically writing a musical love letter to her and her recently departed husband.
Oh, that's sad. When did he pass?
I'm not sure, but not that long ago.
Mm. And anything we need to know about Deborah Cook that might make us happy to see her show?
Deborah Cook is in Utah. She is quite the celebrity. She is a university professor, and she is an acclaimed opera singer.
Nice.
You can find her work online in many different places. She is also part of the New York New Works Theater Festival. That's at the Acorn Theater on Theater Row.
And what are her dates?
410 West 42nd Street. She is Friday, September 7th. Hey, that's this evening. And then you could see her again Saturday, September 15th at 2 p.m. So since Granville was yesterday, you got two more shows. You can see him on the 13th and her on the 15th.
So I knew somebody who had done this last year, and he said that they did it more than one time. How does this work?
Well, basically, a lot of festivals achieve a sense of competition, and I don't mean that in the negative sense. I mean in the sense it is a chance for audiences to see it and vote. And the New York New Works Theater Festival also has an adjudication committee that basically adjudicates these works. Everybody gets two performances. If audience and judges are resounding, then they may get a third performance. They may be part of the finals. They can even go further.
Yeah. Cool, that sounds great. So it sounds like fun and a great way to see new stuff in New York City and to support new playwrights and new composers. That's a great idea.
It's sort of like a salad bar of theater. You're able to see a lot of bits of new works, and you can even support them as they go along in their careers.
Are they all musicals?
No. No, these two coincidentally are musicals, but there are new plays, dramas, comedies. There are one-person shows that are going up as part of this. And there is, of course, other musicals.
Fantastic. That's great. Fantastic. I like it. I like it a lot. It sounds like really a wonderful way to support new artists and to get their work seen and heard. By the way, what we're listening to in the background, which is actually very low, is something called the Femme Fatale Dark Cabaret Collection. And it's on YouTube under somebody. You have to subscribe to them. Their name is Wiremux, W-I-R-E-M-U-X. And that's just one of many playlists that I kind of culled together. And these are a lot of songs. Some of them are published and you can find them on not only YouTube, but you can find them on Spotify or Amazon Music. But this is new work as well. So we'll always be featuring new vocal and musical artists as much as we possibly can in the background of our speak-in. And if you're interested, just get in touch with us. And you can find our email addresses here and the information below. And you can just write a note and we'll send you all the information on the music or any of the other artists that we talk about today or any other day. So what else we have?
Well, I just want to quickly say Stan of Common Ground. If you email me an exact pronunciation of your name, I promise you on next podcast, I'm going to mention you again the right way. Speaking of lovely family entertainment, here we have Medicine Show Theater presenting Albert Camus' Caligula.
Now, let me get this straight. I hear a lot of people talking about this film Caligula, which I did see on YouTube and I thought was just like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Is this the same thing? People think it is. Is that true?
It is the same basic story. It is much of the same plot line, and there's a lot that's there. But you're not going to see John Gielgud commit suicide in a big pool of water.
Not too bad.
And all those nice scenes where people weren't wearing costumes and doing insidious things to each other, I'm going to say you're not going to see that, or no, at least you'll just see a version of it. However, Medicine Show Theater, which is one of the older theaters in New York, they strive for intellectually stimulating works. They strive for powerful pieces. And last year they did a whole salute to Russian theater. When you go see this, I will guarantee you, you are going to be amazed at the brilliance that they have.
When does that begin?
This is, by the way, a new translation by Chris Brandt, and it's directed by Mark J. Dempsey. They are now in previews. They started previews yesterday. They open officially September 13 and run through October 14. They are at the Medicine Show Theater, 545 West 42nd Street on the third floor. I'm sorry, I'm looking at one poster and reading another. 545 West 52nd Street, third floor, New York City.
Tell me a little bit about that theater company. What kind of people are they?
The theater company there, in my dealings with them, they are very powerful. It is run by two amazing women, Regan Van Batello and Elizabeth Wine, and they pick intellectually stimulating works that you won't often see, and they will create new and exciting versions of it.
Awesome.
Now, where you might sit there and say, oh, I don't want to just go see something so intelligent, you would be very surprised the power that they managed to pull out of all of these works.
That's great.
Really stimulating.
That's great. That sounds interesting. Okay, so what else we have? Any kind of music coming up?
Lots of music. Saturday night, September 8th at 7 p.m. at the Duplex.
Yay, the Duplex. I love singing at the Duplex.
Bar and Cabaret, 61 Christopher Street at 7th Avenue. International vocalist and dancer Ronnie Dutra will be there. He is doing an encore performance of his musical presentation, The Wave. This is another autobiographical story. His is your somewhat rags-to-riches story. He came here to this country from Brazil with a small amount of English and even less money, and it has led to an amazing career. He is a recording artist. He is a performer. He is a singer. He is a dancer. He does tours. He has been in full-scale musicals, and now his cabaret act is catching fire.
Great. That sounds fantastic. Where can we get tickets?
Okay. Tickets you can get at Purple Pass if you log on to the Duplex.
Right. Also, you can get them at www.ronnydutra.com. He has a link there.
R-O-N-N-Y.
Right.
Dutra.com.
So Ron
Ronnie
York,
Dutra.
Ron in New York Dutra.
Actually,
it looks
it's
like to
Ronnie
me.
Dutra, okay. But it's Ron New York Dutra if you look at it that way.
Forget it. Anyway, nobody's going to forget that.
There you go.
So it's a 2-drink minimum at the Duplex, so people are aware of that. And it's a $20 online price, maybe a little bit more at the door. So I would check that before you go. But it's a wonderful place. It's right next door to Stonewall. And it's a great, fun area of the village. Great place to eat. Great place to hang out afterwards. So once you're finished with the show, you can just enter the village and just enjoy yourself.
For those of you who do not normally travel forth into the city or at least downtown, the Duplex is in the hub of everything that is still Manhattan. So going to the village, that's terrific.
So what else we got?
Okay. Old buddy of mine from 100 million years ago, director Laurie Ray Waugh and prolific author Irving A. Greenfield have teamed once again, and they're presenting a play called Band in Bisbee. Now, here's the trivia to it. Irving A. Greenfield is a famous author. He has written adventure novels, and now the series of characters from those adventure novels are now coming to life in this play, literally coming to life. It is a fantasy story about how his novel characters come to life and try to escape their bounds of literature.
Huh.
Love things like that. Very love stories like that. It started September 5. It is running till September 16th at the legendary American Theater of Actors,
the ATA.
314 West 54th Street. Wah, along with actor technician Ken Conklin, are putting this amazing show together. Ken and Lori have done both independent film and independent theater for many, many years.
Isn't it great to have a co-conspirator like we do? It's kind of interesting to have somebody you always rely on for your work, and that makes it better as time goes on. It develops really
gorgeous, well. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
All right, so what else do you have? Something else I see, dance even now.
Right, by the way, tickets for Band in Bisbee, you can go online. For AmericanTheaterOfActors.com, and that will give you all the information as to where to purchase tickets. Really excellent show, really excellent director.
And anything we say here that we said maybe too fast or you didn't get time to write down or find out about, write to us, and you'll get our email information, again, in the information slot below this podcast, and you can just write us, and we'll tell you anything you need to know.
I'll make it even easier for you. jmichaelsarts.com.
That's right. Just go to the website, jmichaelsarts.com.
All of these are listed, and you can get all the information that you would need regarding.
Right. So tell me about this dance. I'm looking at this poster, and it looks really interesting.
Okay. We're talking about Ronnie coming from Brazil. Well, now we have Nicoletta Mandriotti.
Italiana.
Ah, si. Coming to us, she is a Peruvian-Italian director. She has created this dark psychological dance piece, as it's written, in a dark, disorienting, immersive movement theater piece, Girl Inside the Mirror.
Wasn't that just at the planet?
It had a triumphant run at Planet Connections Theater Festival,
yes.
Their 10th anniversary, which has just passed. And it is now nominated for a record 7 Planet Awards.
Yes, I read a couple of wonderful reviews about this piece, and a lot of women really got it and really understood it, and I was very interested in it myself. It sounds very good.
It's an all-female dance piece. The performers come from very immersive theater backgrounds. There are people from Then She Fell. There are people from Sleep No More. It is quite brilliant. It is quite, quite brilliant. This psychological and physical force that she has created is the story of a Latina girl who travels to a parallel world through a mirror. It's sort of like Alice in Wonderland taken to the 10th power. Mm. It received immense write-ups during Planet Connections time, and we're thrilled that it's part of Theater for the New City's Dream Up Festival.
So when is that happening?
That is running September 6th. Once again, it has started to September 15. The piece is about 45 minutes long. Its actual performance dates are September 9 at 5 p.m., September 10 at 9 p.m., September 13 at 9 p.m., September 15 at 8 p.m. at the Johnson Theater of Theater for the New City. You can get tickets and address, etc., at www.dreamupfestival.com.
And once again, all the information is on the website, jmichaelsarts.com.
Right, right.
Anything else? Oh, I see somebody I love coming up. What's happening here on September 9th?
And the great one for continuing this week, and what essentially concludes this week's stories. We'll be talking about a couple others in a moment. I'll mention a coming attraction or two. But let's get down to brass tacks. The one, the only, Richard Skipper Celebrates is this weekend. That is September 9 at 1 p.m. at the Laurie Beachman Theater, 407 West 42nd Street in New York City. You can get tickets by going online to richardskipper.com and clicking the yellow starburst, and all you need to know is there for tickets. Now, for those of you who don't know Richard Skipper, you must be living on Mars. But just to refresh your memory, Richard Skipper Celebrates is a series of performances every month at the Laurie Beachman, where Mr. Skipper celebrates a particular milieu in the arts, a particular genre, particular people, etc. This one I can't wait for. This one is Richard Skipper Celebrates Those Glorious Black and White Warner Brothers Musicals.
That sounds good.
He has with him a bevy of cabaret entertainers, noteworthy and powerful people that join him on the stage. This particular one, he has Bob Diamond, Meg Flather, Doreen Montalvo. Shout out to you, Doreen. Remember Columbus High School. Zachary Staines and Lisa Vigiano.
Oh, wonderful performers.
And behind him is the Richard Skipper Celebrates Band.
Oh,
Daniel
Tracy
Glass on percussion. Tom Hubbard on bass.
Oh, Tracy Stark on piano.
Tracy Stark on piano.
Excellent, excellent.
And Eric Lawrence on sax. This is produced by Russ Woolley, and this is starting his third season, his third year of doing this. I'm not kidding. If you have never seen Richard Skipper perform, you are truly missing something amazing. As an old-timer like me, what he does, he takes the great variety shows of our youth and puts them on stage and gives them a modern glamour to them.
That
is incredible.
I am. Not old either. He's going to get mad at you.
Oh, no. Well, when I say old timers, I just mean the good old days of television.
No, Jay's only 55, and Richard's only around that same age.
Anyway.
So it's not that we're old timers. Don't give people. It's also wonderful that if you are younger, that you might want to consider coming to see something about things that have passed and gone by. As a matter of fact, I find a lot of people very interested, as we know, in the hipster world and things from the past, from the 1890s on into the 1920s, early 30s, and now we're just going back up into the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So if you're interested in any kind of retro clothing, music, ideas, movies, Richard Skipper puts on things that you might really enjoy and really want to immerse yourself in, and then when you leave, you can explore more things and learn more things about.
Well, that's why I say he puts a modern glint on it. During one of the performances, one of the audience members brought their son, who was probably 10 years old, and Richard put him on stage for a moment and interviewed him and everything, and that kid was starry-eyed. It was really brilliant. So he puts this modern slant on the great old work, so I invite everyone to come and see it. At our next podcast, we're going to talk about the amazing Michelle. She was just at the Public Theater, and now she's going to be at United Solo Festival. We're going to see the New York premiere of Squatters. This is Joshua Crone's play, not about 9/11, but about people that were hanging in that area during 9/12, 9/13, 9/14, and beyond. That's going to have a limited run as well. And then we'll start talking about October. That includes our friend Mary Elizabeth McCarry in Lady in Black at Don't Tell Mama, as well as Ego Actus production of Give 'Em Hell Harry. The Harry they speak of is Harry S. Truman. Mm. And we will talk about them and what's going on in November. And every week we will have a continuing piece on Broadway's Town Hall, which is starting a banner season. And we'll talk all about that next week as well.
Great. This sounds like so much fun. Isn't it interesting that there's so much going on in September? Well, traditionally, the Broadway theater season started in September, again, after Labor Day, because there was actually no air conditioning in Broadway theaters, and people couldn't go see live theater during the summer. So they did see outdoor theater and or summer stock if they were going to go see entertainment. But the artists themselves took time off and rested and then came back with brand new shows starting right after Labor Day. So this is the height of the fall theater season happening, right? This is everything.
Oh, for sure. I was waylaid with the festivals, and then out of nowhere, people began calling me and saying, I have a show opening up September 1st, September 2nd, September 8th, September 9th. September has once again taken its rightful place as the start of the theater season. Well, even with the glut of festivals that we have, September is the place to start.
Isn't the theater festivals are really now primarily, except for now the Fringe, which you can talk about for a second if you want to, because you know a little more about that.
Sure.
That is starting again in the fall instead of the summer. I think they probably felt like there was just too much competition. How many festivals were there this summer?
This summer, I dealt with over 100 plays.
How many festivals in those plays?
I did. I was working on about 3 or 4 or 5 festivals in total.
And there's more than you did.
Oh yeah, from our office, we worked on Planet Connections Theater Festival and their flagship event, Playwrights for a Cause. We worked on the Fresh Fruit Festival. We worked on the BRICS Trans Theater Festival. There were so many others that went on at the same time. You easily had, if you just wanted to go night to night, you could have seen at least 200 productions in New York.
That's really amazing. Well, that's good, because it seems like to me there's like a revitalization of independent theater, happening really, really strongly in New York City now.
Yes, completely. With the advent of technology, with the concept of accessibility through festivals and through smaller venues, an artist is able to get their work up immediately.
Well, I'm going to ask you, because I'm sure that there's people listening to this podcast, and we're going to talk about that, because we produced together. We started producing together in about 1998 or 7, I think.
1998. So you said I'm not an old-timer. I just wanted to
Well, whatever. But, yeah, so we started doing shows back then. And the whole theater scene was pretty much like this. It was pretty hot. But at that time, I remember there was a lot of Shakespeare being done.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people were coming out of school wanting to do more Shakespeare. And we were part of that movement. We did, like, 33 Shakespearean plays in a couple of years, really. And we did opera. And it was more of a classical movement at that time, at the turn of the 21st century. But now it seems there's a lot more independent plays being done, new pieces, smart new pieces that are even not maybe that interested. So it used to be people were interested in doing film, but now it doesn't seem to be. But we know our world changed a lot at 9/11. I'm just to see what Squatters has to say about the way the world changed that day, because it certainly did here. And our Off-Off-Broadway world kind of was a little bit decimated at that point. I remember one of our friends saying this is the death of the Off-Off-Broadway movement, theater movement at the time, and it kind of was. It was really difficult at the time because, you know, a lot of the theaters were in the Lower East Side of Manhattan or the Lower West Side of Manhattan, and there was no way to perform or do anything, and a lot of people lost their homes or had to move out of the city or became really frightened and didn't want to stay and work here. So I'm glad to see this revitalization. It's really interesting and really exciting. And we talked about two cabaret pieces.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a dance piece. We're talking about many different live short plays and musicals. This is amazing. This is a lot of things that are really, really coming, bubbling up to the surface. Could it be that the frustration with what's on Broadway is causing all of this to rise in this place? Do you think that that's the case?
Well, I think you got two things going on here. In 1999... pre-9/11, people were still emulating things that you may have seen via the public theater. That's why Shakespeare was so prevalent. People wanted to have that kind of connection, that off-off-Broadway sort of feel that we're going to see Shakespeare, we're going to see new versions of it. I remember when we did Hamlet in 1999, two things happened. Number one, we were actually listed in Time Out New York as off-Broadway because of the caliber of the work that was being done out there. But also there were so many different versions of Shakespeare. There was about four or five Hamlets in the summer that we ended up doing Hamlet. When things changed in 2001, you got a bunch of other things. Number one, Broadway, the technological mastery of Broadway has changed theater's whole outlook as well as 9/11 has sort of stopped a major piece of it. It became the point of, if they're coming into New York, they're going to see the finest they possibly can. If they're going to risk their lives, and this is what even a lot of performers had said at that time, they're going to see the hot ticket, and that's the end of that. Aside from 9/11, the other thing that's worked is independent film. Because it has become easier to do independent film, and in recent years, independent film, or at least art house type films have won Academy Awards, people want their own work seen, because just as quickly as you can make an off-off-Broadway play is you can make an independent film. So a lot of these, and I've heard stories of it, where after it's done, a film version was made. Squatters, for instance, after it ran in London, they made a film version of it. So I think it's the notion that people can actually take their work and go further.
Yeah, but they always could. I guess that they didn't. I'd started my first theater company when I was 19 years old in New York, and we were called the None of the Above Theater Company, which Jay ended up being a part of late in its life span. And we did, right out of college, you know, 19, 18 years old, we started doing what was then very cutting-edge playwrights and that kind of work, and people were coming. I remember very clearly that there were lines around the block for these plays. We were sold out almost on a regular basis, and we were a bunch of, you know, little kids from a city university just trying to put together a play. But there was a passion for theater and seeing live theater. That's why we're here, I think. The reason we're here is not only just to talk about all these wonderful ideas and Jay's wonderful business now helping these people succeed in the work that they want to succeed in, but also a matter of getting people out of their house and off of Netflix and into live theater, because there is nothing like it at all. I am just as lazy as the next one. I promise you. I would like to stay in my house and eat pizza and watch Netflix. And you know what I'm finding out, though? I'm finding out that I'm getting bored with that idea. I'm bored with my phone, which was new, like, what, 20 years ago or whatever. And I'm bored with what I can see. I'm terribly bored. I'm bored being in the house. I'm bored of the same thing. I'm actually bored of the Grubhub and Seamless coming and bringing me food. I'm bored. So I don't know. Maybe that's an issue. Maybe people should think about, especially if you live in New York City, why are you here if you're not enjoying the city? I mean, people do come here to make money and make living in the financial world here, which is, of course, a major, major thing. But if you're living in the city, you really ought to be checking out the art. And let's think about it as a revitalization of the art and the artist. Why not have that happen again? And it's time again for that to happen. And a lot of the times, too, we have a lot of people uncomfortable with the President of the United States. I have no opinion. I never say a word about politics, and I will not on this podcast, Narble J, ever. However, there are people, and I see them on my Facebook and all over the place, very upset. And when you have that kind of issue going on, political strife, we start to see a real blossoming of art, all sorts of art. And the theater itself, too, is blossoming under this pressure. What do you think, Jay?
Well, that's what I'm saying when I'm talking about indie film as well as indie theater. I think it's at our fingertips even more than it ever was. In the 80s and 90s, we still had the end of the great off-Broadway movement. So, yes, people were still coming in droves to see these shows. Now it's becoming part of the artist again. The artist has the power to take their work and take it even further than they did, to be able to create this podcast or create video teasers, to be able to take your work and put it in a theater and show it to the audience has become once again in vogue. That's why I think you have so many different styles of work, so many different kinds of work, so much art, as simple as that. I think we're not giving ourselves, I think that's the best way to put it. They know more criteria. What's interesting? What's good? Let's show it to the world.
Okay, so there you go. So, you know, this is our first podcast, and we don't have to go on and on and on, but we sort of did a whole bunch of things we will generally do. So I sort of interviewed Jay, and I made my own opinion known, and so did he. So in the future, well, maybe we'll do some of that, but after a while, who cares? So, of course, we'll have other people on talking to you about their perspective of the theater and the cabaret and the burlesque and the nightclub and the rest of the live arts, including dance, in New York City. And we'll interview them, and you can hear their stuff, their opinions firsthand. We'll have, hopefully, every week or every podcast, a person come in and give an opinion about something that's going on. Today, we're talking about our own opinion of our own experience of the change of the theater movement in New York City. And to me, it sounds and feels very wonderful and very, very interesting and hopeful, actually.
I kind of look at it as autonomous, like I was saying. We're not waiting for anyone. And I think the opportunities, the accessibility is so powerful now that anybody with a great idea can have that moment. It almost sounds like the great immigrant experience that people talk about at the beginning of the 20th century. It's like you can come here and make something of yourself. And I think that's the same thing. I think artists now have this amazing way of this amazing opportunity to bring work out there. And it's such a pleasure to be able to do it. Joyously handling public relations for indie theater and film and other artisan works has gotten to show me things that I never saw before, pieces that I never knew could exist, let alone are existing and are being performed. So I'm absolutely thrilled that artists are grabbing their work and saying, here, audience, see this. And I hope that never stops.
Well, it's a good time to talk about Jay and how that happened, because Jay and I, as we've said before, we still produce. I produce my own work constantly. I have no interest in doing it any other way. I never have.
But, and I'm a control freak, so if I'm going to do my own work, I want it done my own way.
Right. But now Jay's branched off into this publicity area, and what he actually is doing, it's the best I talk about him. It's hard to talk about yourself because then people
you'd be surprised.
Well, you can't talk about yourself, but whatever. I'll talk about him. He branched off from just doing our own direction and also producing with me and other people for all these years, and now has really got a blossoming and very helpful and mentoring and nurturing, and those are the words I would definitely use, publicity and marketing firm based, and it's wonderful and it works and it's inexpensive because he was there. So he knows how much people, he always says, I know how much you don't have.
I know how much money you don't have.
Right, exactly. And he's knows how it works, I mean, from the inside out, as a performer, as an actor, as a writer and a lyricist, some of the ways that he started in Off-Off Broadway, and as a director for many, many years. So, and we started in 96 or 7 doing our own publicity. We bumped into a wonderful old gentleman named Michael Wright, who was running a PR firm for a while, and Jay got taken under his wing for a while, and also Jay has lots of experience in the advertising world as his day job work, and in a not-for-profit writing and not-for-profit event management. So all those things combined have made him really, really, really great publicist for you. And so we're going to talk about what that is. What is JMANE, J. Michael's Arts and Entertainment? It's an indie theater in New York City is larger than Off and On Broadway combined, as we all know. You need someone to help you cut through the noise to make audiences choose your play, your dance, your music. They need to choose you, of course, over the countless others and attend your show in a festival or entry or dance piece or cabaret or nightclub act. You want them to take the train one more stop to your theater, not just any theater, and see you on stage. So J. Michael's Arts and Entertainment is aggressive marketing and promotional campaigns combined with a sliding scale fee that have created visibility for Off-Off Broadway, independent film, and fine artisans' work since 2001. So you are an old-timer, right?
I told you.
So I read that for you guys. If you're interested in any of the things we discussed this evening or want any more information on anything we've said or done here tonight, we are more than happy to give it to you for free, of course, any kind of information. If you want to speak to Jay about working with him, you just give him an email. You can just go to his website, as we've said over and over, jmichaelsarts.com, and you can reach him through there. Or you can just...
You can call me. You can call me at 646-338-5472. That's 646-338-5472. Yeah. Operators are standing by.
Now, hours of... Yeah, sure. Hours are 10 to 7, Monday through Friday, and only Saturday and Sunday hours for working clients. So you know that. Please do not call at 6 in the morning or at 3 in the morning.
But if you do, I'll end up picking up. I'm just saying.
I will get upset. So there. So there's our show. Our first podcast is done. We've done a wonderful job talking because we can do that all day. In the future, as I said, we will have other things on here. And we maybe will start talking about how to produce and how to do your marketing, and how we can even do things like casting and putting things together, because we have multiple experiences and many lines of doing this work.
We'll be chatting with various theater companies and various theater people and independent film people as we go along, and they too shall impart wisdom upon everyone on how they did it. And the joy is not hearing what you do with $1 million, it's what you do with a dollar and a half. So that's what really counts.
All right. So from the Passion Pit somewhere in New York City, this is Mary Elizabeth McCarry and
J. Michaels.
Hope to see you again soon. Get out there and get into the theater. Bye.